This may not sound like a 4th of July message because, you know, it's Independence Day and people are preaching those kind of services, but here's what the Lord showed me. If we want America to be a blessed country, then the Christians need to be a blessed people who are willing to share and pass on that blessing to other people. If we are not worthy, if we are not walking in the way of the Lord so that He will not bless us, because we're not walking by faith and we're not walking and showing His love and we're not trusting in that, then He will not bless our country, because He uses us to be the blessing, the conduit to our country. So this is about how we live a more blessed life. When I started, I read, because I want to make sure I got it right in the King James Version, John 3:16, about God so loved the world. And I said, that is the most important scripture for us as a church to learn. But the second most important section of scripture we really need to understand is going to be Romans chapter 8. After we become Christians, because we have trusted in the only begotten Son of God, and we have believed on Him, then we followed Him in baptism, that kind of stuff. But as we commit to be His disciple, we need to go on to Romans chapter 8. We don't need to go back to always laying the foundation of you got to get saved. We're going with, you are saved, and if you're not, you need to get saved. But if you've trusted in Christ and you believe in His sacrifice, then that's where you are, you're saved. You need to continue on and become one of His disciples. But Romans chapter 8 is what bumps it up to the next notch. It's something that we really need to grasp and to understand in our life. Parts of it are even well worth memorizing right after John 3:16. But before we get to Romans 8, I want to back up and contextualize that just a bit with Romans chapter 7, just the last verses of it. We're not going to read it, but what it says is this. The Apostle Paul himself makes this statement, and now I'm paraphrasing, but the Apostle Paul lays it out like this. There's things that I shouldn't be doing, but those are the things that I do. There's things that I should be doing, and those aren't the things I'm doing. Oy vey, what am I going to do? Who's going to help me? Who's going to deliver me from this? And then he goes on to thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he had a problem that is, I hate to say it, part of all of our lives. There's things that we shouldn't be doing, and right there we are, and then there's things we should be doing, and right there we ain't. And we have that problem, and he brings it into the next chapter and starts setting us free from that by writing this down. Verse 1, chapter 8 of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Right now. Once you've entrusted Christ, once you've accepted Him as your Savior and you believed in Him, then it goes on to say that right now, and in 10 seconds, right now, and tomorrow I'll be able to say, right now, any day of this week I'll be able to say, right now, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. Next Thursday, there is no condemnation for Doyle Williams because of Christ Jesus and His perfect sacrifice. And that is something we need to grab a hold of because it's the basis for all of our blessings. It's not by the works, and we need to define works here. Works is when you're doing something trying to earn God's good pleasure towards you. Faith is what secures God's good pleasure towards you. Abraham trusted God and it was counted to him as righteousness. We are of the faith of Abraham. We trust what God said about His Son, believe on Him and His perfect sacrifice. We will be saved, and that's accounted to us as righteousness. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. He's saying, we're not out here work, trying to earn those blessings. We trust God, and when we do, we've got those blessings. The blessings of God are secured for us. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, no condemnation. And the things that I shouldn't do, and when I do them, He is still loving and forgiving of me, and there is no condemnation. And because of that great love He has toward me, I want to learn to do those things less and less. But the pressure is off. I don't crumble. I know a lot of people who put forth their best effort and then finally, after several attempts at living that life, they crumble and they fall and they say, it's not worth it, I can't do it. And they walk away from Christianity. Where what they should have understood is there is no condemnation and Christ is right there working for you. He is the one doing the work. He is up there pleading your cause and He's saying, don't condemn Him. He is striving, He's walking toward me and I'm calling Him. Therefore, there is no condemnation. And He says, by the blood of sacrifice. Now, the next part of this, which is the most important part that I'm going to emphasize today, is Romans chapter 8, 31 through 38. And that I will read. And that's where we're going to be the rest of this service. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for all of us, how will He not also, with Him, freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God's the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for our sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, 31 and 32, some people read this and they make a mistake. What then shall we say of these things? If God be for us, who's against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for all of us, will He not also with Him freely give us all things? And there are people who try to twist that and say, are you saying then that the Christ's sacrifice is not sufficient? But no. That's not what He's saying. He's saying that the sacrifice of Christ, when He laid His life down and He shed His blood. By the way, the sacrifice of Christ was more than just the shedding of blood. He could have been stoned to death until He had shed His blood, and that could have forgiven us of our sin. But not only did He pay for our sin, but remember in the garden God cursed man and said, by the sweat of your brow you shall labor and eat your bread. He also freed us from that curse that God laid upon mankind of striving, of striving, of striving. And He did that because it had to be, cursed is the man who hangs upon the tree, is what the Scriptures say. Christ not only shed His blood, but He did it while He was hanging upon a tree. Therefore, He not only paid for our sin debt, but He also lifted the curse that was placed upon mankind in the Garden of Eden, so that we would never come under the condemnation. And as we learn to walk by faith, we receive all the blessings of God. So His death on the cross, and both of them are important, His death, His bloodshed, and it being on the cross is the sufficiency we have, and it causes all the other blessings to come to us. The sacrifice of the blood washes away our sins. The death on the cross takes us out from underneath the curse that was laid upon mankind. All the things that follow after our salvation, all the things that follow after that are just a sequel. Just a sequel, you know, like a movie. They come out with a good movie, then they start making the sequels. The best movie is always the first movie, and then the sequels are okay. They're good, but they're not as good as the best. The best thing that can ever happen to a human being is salvation through Jesus Christ. Then all the rest of this stuff is sequels, and it's good, but it's not as good as the first one because our sins are wiped away. And a lot of times there's sequels that I really like to see, but in due time they come out, in due time. And that's the way the blessings of God come to us, in due time. Patience, grasshopper, is what I hear a lot of the kids say. Patience, grasshopper. the blessings of God will come to you, and it's all through the salvation and the work of the cross. Remember this, all things that are good in the universe are your ally. All things that are good in this universe is on your side. All the blessings, all the goodness of God is on your side. Now, I'd like to continue and read verse 35, the last of the chapter. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness? I hope you're all shaking your head. No. Or peril, or the sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all things, we are overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Get that. Nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing, nothing that's created. And God is the only being. He is the only entity. He is the only, I want to say thing because I don't have a better word. He's the only thing that was not created. Everything else has been created. Therefore, nothing that is created will separate you from the love of God. That includes yourself. That includes yourself. You cannot separate yourself from the love of God. You've accepted Christ as your Savior and He loves you. You cannot separate yourself because you are a created being. Even when you mess up, He still loves you and you're not separated. Now, as you go along, I read that sheep for the slaughter. And this has always caused me to, I didn't get it. I always was reading it and thinking, well, I am to be counted and say, I'm a sheep for the slaughter and I'm here to be slaughtered and I'm just going to die because the whole world is after me and the devil's going to. Now, it says, we are sheep for the slaughter. We are being put to death all day long by, let me find it, verse 36. I want to say it right. For your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And who is it that considers us as sheep to be slaughtered? Not God. Our enemy. Our enemy considers us to be sheep for the slaughter. He wants to do away with us. And if he gets the chance, he would do that to us. So our enemies are the ones who would like to kill us off and get rid of us. Now, this is an aside, and most people probably don't think this is politically correct and should not be said or recorded, but Islam teaches its people that we as Christians and the Jewish people are to be slaughtered. They consider what they're doing when they kill somebody who is not Islamic as the right thing for them to do, and they are doing you a favor by killing you. They are the ones, their God, their leader, their prophet, consider us to be the sheep for the slaughter. Not God, but that's what they think. But remember this, even though all bad and evil foes are against us, even though they are against us, they're just a quarrelsome, conquered foe. They are just a failure of a foe. We still have the love of God, and He is still on our side. God still loves us. And even if we should be martyred, it does not break His love for us. Now, here's a big fancy word, a vignette. A vignette is just like a little picture to get across the point. So the vignette is this. At a wedding, people at the wedding take this vow, until death do we part. Now I want you and I want myself, I want all of us to grasp this, that at the point when we pass away and we die, we are separated at death from everything on this earth. We are separated from everything on this earth. You don't see a U-Haul going behind a hearse. You don't see a bank going behind a hearse with bars and ingots of gold throwing it in there. It does that person no good. When we pass away, it's all left and we are separated from everything on this earth. But there is one being we are not separated from. If you'll remember, when you read the scriptures, it refers to the church of Jesus Christ as His bride. As His bride. And that vow of, until death do we part, even though we can say it, Christ, until death do we part, He never dies. He is not of this world. Therefore, we can never be departed from Him because we never perish. He never dies because He's of heaven now, completely and totally of heaven. And we've trusted in Him. And John 3:16 says, we never perish. Therefore, we cannot be separated from the love of Christ because He doesn't die. We don't die. And even though we leave everything in this world behind when we pass away, we're still not separated from the love of Christ. He's up there and He's going to receive us into His arms. And that's why that particular vignette, that particular reference is made to us. He wants us to understand He isn't of this world, we are not of this world, and we will never be separated from Him. Ever, 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 ever be separated. Verse 37 says something interesting. But in all these things, famine, nakedness, peril, the enemy trying to slaughter us off. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loves us. We overwhelmingly, not just slightly, but overwhelmingly, we've conquered all of that. How? Through Him who loves us. It's His love for us that causes us to be the overwhelming conqueror. It's not our love for Him. And a lot of people say, I don't love Him enough, therefore. No, that's not what that scripture says. It says, His love for Doyle Williams causes me to be that overwhelming conqueror. Whether I'm having a good day, whether I'm having a bad day, whether I'm just going, yay, Jesus, or whether I'm going, yeah, Jesus. However I'm approaching that day, I'm still the overwhelming conqueror because it says, He loves me. Through His love, I am an overwhelming conqueror. So it's not based on us or on what we do. But also 37 through 39, but in all things we are overwhelmingly conquered through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor depth, nor height, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sounds good. Sounds boring. Sounds monotonous, doesn't it? But that's not the way that that scripture is actually supposed to be read. When it's read, it should be cranked up. It should be soaring. It should be something that ratchets it up. It should be something that becomes more intense to us. So if you'll put your fingers in your ears if you have to, this is a way it could be read or should be read, because he's trying to drive home a point. But in all things, we are overwhelmingly conquered through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, or powers, or height, or depth, or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's the way that should be read. When you're going through that scripture, it should be ta-da, 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 ta-da. Nothing, nothing, nothing. We win. Because He loved us. Because He sent His Son for us. Because He died for us. And if we want to have that blessing, then we've got to come to this understanding. I am blessed by faith. I am blessed, and I walk in the fact that I am blessed, whether I feel it and whether I don't. I'm blessed, whether I feel like He loves me or whether I don't feel like He loves me. I'm blessed. And the more we come to that point and say, I am blessed, then when that crappy stuff happens, we can look at it and say, I'm still blessed. I don't know. I'm still blessed. I'm still blessed. And know there's a roadblock and things seem to be harsh for me right now. He's just preparing me for a bigger blessing coming my way. The big picture is like this. Don't get entrenched. Don't let the bad things in your life cause you to stumble and sit down and mope for a long time. Just say, I'm blessed. I will overcome that through Him who loves me. I am going to overcome through Him who loves me. And when we walk by faith and not by sight, He continues to pour out more blessing. And to us who are blessed, to us who are experiencing good things in our life, don't let that entrench you. Don't let that make you complacent with the good that's in your life. Don't let good cause you to be complacent. You can say, I've got a good life. God promises you better. Better. He's there. Walk by faith. It is an ever-increasing blessedness in our lives. It's to always be increasing in our lives. We are to have increased blessings in our lives. Constantly improving, improving. And when something bad falls, we say, aha! There's something that's going to be overcome in my life. And we become the blessed people who bless the nation of America. And God will bless this nation because we're in it. We're the conduit. And He's saying, my people are walking by faith and not by sight. Therefore, I'm going to pour out to them a blessing. I'm going to put it in a cup. I'm going to shake it down. And then I'm going to pour more on top of it until it's just overflowing and overflowing and overflowing. And then the rest of the United States of America becomes blessed because we are the people of God who walk by faith and not by sight. Better is coming. Can't see it, but it is coming. But remember what we talked about at the very beginning of this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. As a remembrance of this, we're going to take the Lord's Supper now. Because this is where it all starts. It's not in the taking of the supper, but it's in the fact you're making the statement, I trust in the salvation that Christ has provided. I trust that His body was broken on the cross and the curse is done away with. And I trust by the symbol of the grape juice, the wine, that His blood has washed away my sin. I accept that. Just going through the ritual doesn't save you. Trusting in the actual reality of what Christ did does save you. And that's the first step of being a blessed person. But this is a memorial that's here to remind us continually of what He accomplished.